Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident as well. You know, love, not just fighting. So yeah. So grab those, and we're going to jump into some introduction of what's happening today because we're going to talk about your shape. That's kind of where we're going these next couple of weeks, and diagnosing what it is that the shape that God has created you to be in so that you can be used for His glory, all right? So we're going to talk about some of this and get rolling in it. Let's read the scripture that you see on the top there. Psalm 139 says this: "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." That's just a cool spot to pause for a second and recognize that God has created each and every one of us. You did not just happen. You did not just, you are not outside of God's plan or will. You are there. God is with you. Okay? And He has designed you. He has created you for purposes, for reasons. And so it's important for us to pause like the psalmist did there and say, "God, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." It's amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. You were there when I was being formed. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. God has been molding and shaping you for ministry since before you were born. Do you realize that? And you're like, "Well, Pastor, I'm not into ministry." Well, that's what we're going to redefine. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, because God has created all of us. Ministry is, we'll define it. I almost jumped out of turn. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. Breathe. Okay. So you were designed for a purpose, and it wasn't just to make paychecks. Come on, church. It wasn't just to make paychecks. It wasn't just to consume food. Sorry. Right? You were designed for a purpose, to impact the lives of other people, to show the glory of God for His creative ability. When God sees you, it's a reflection of His greatness. He has created you for a purpose and a reason. So let's diagnose a little bit of that. I did not bring my blanks with me. I'll have to go get those. All right. I was created for a purpose. Go to that slide. Shaped for a purpose. I grabbed the one you guys have, and that's not going to help me lead, is it? Okay. I was shaped for a purpose. You were created by God for a purpose, not by accident, not for random sake, but on purpose. The talents that you possess, the experiences you've gone through, that is what God is shaping you into the being and the person that He wants you to be. You guys are already filling in the next one because they're up there, so I'll just go on to it. I am unique. There's only one you. We know that by fingerprints. We know that through DNA, right? But bigger than that, we know that you are specially created for specific reasons and purposes. You are unique. God has plans and things for you to accomplish that nobody else can or should. Now, not everything, let's be real, not everything you do is totally unique, right? So don't get a little upset or confused by that. That's also truth, that your uniqueness is very similar to the person next to you and that you're both unique, right? So it's important to recognize that we have that ability that God has given us. He's designed us for certain reasons. We are unique and specifically designed by Him. And then lastly, I am wonderfully made. This is what we're finding from Scripture. Pastor did not just make this up. This is not a self-help seminar. This is Scripture. God says, God wants you to know that you are wonderfully made. You might be here, you might be in a season of life right now that you are not sure what to do with yourself. Anybody ever been there? You might be in a moment where you are just trying to keep your head above water. You just got bills coming in. You just got issues going on. Maybe you've had major transition in life and life doesn't look like it used to, and you're trying to go, "What do I do all day long? What do I do? What am I supposed to do?" And you're asking these questions and you're processing this, and God wants you to know that He has not forgotten you. That this season of your life was not outside of His reach. He didn't go, "Man, I had some stuff planned for you later on, Mike, but this next 5 years, you're kind of on your own, kid." You know, that's not what God's saying. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows what you're going through and what He's designed you for, okay? So what right do you have, human being, to cross-examine God? The pot has no right to say to the potter, why'd you make me this shape? How dare the pot say that to the potter? The potter has every right to do what he wants to do, right? And the cool thing about this potter, because we all have trust issues, I'll just call it that. We're all skeptical to some degree. Our world has taught us to be that way, right? And so whenever we have, when we're supposed to trust somebody, we say, well, why should I trust them, right? Why should the pot say to the potter, I trust the way you've made me? Well, that's the cool thing, is because we can trust God. He's proven himself to be worthy of our trust. He's proven that he loves us. He's not just out for his gain, he's out for our gain. Do you realize that? He's intensely involved in your best interest. He actually gave up his own son so that you can be in right relationship with the people around you and with God above. That's how personally invested he is. I love you guys. I don't know if I would trade my son for you. Yeah, Pastor, how dare you? No, I'm just being honest, right? I don't know if I could do that, but God has already demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Powerful, powerful stuff. So that's the value that he puts on us. Now, ministry is determined by several factors. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 says this, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to everyone for their service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each one for the good of all. And if that sounds different for you, that's the Good News version. It's just a little different version. Don't get upset. It's the Word of God. So 1 Corinthians, Paul is telling us that we have reasons, and this is where we're going to dig into this this shape mentality, this shape concept. And we say shape because it's an acronym, and we're going to get there in a second. As soon as I show that slide, you're all going to start writing, and I'll lose you for five. There it went. Okay, there they go. Okay, here we go. Just words are happening, okay? Allow me to walk you through this. This is what we're talking about, shape, and we're going to walk through this process together, all right? The first part is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. That's important for us to recognize that God has gifted us each with spiritual gifts. And this is what you are gifted to do. Gifted to do, okay? We're going to dig more into the details of that and explain that just a little further later on today. But for right now, we'll just say spiritual gifts and you can write that down and go on to the next one. The H stands for heart. God has designed you with a passion and a heart for something. Maybe you can look around your table real quick. Just take a gander around your table. And you'll probably see people who have a heart for different things than what you do. You are all wound up with something and they couldn't care less about it, right? Some of them. Now, some of your heart might overlap a little bit. You might have a heart for the same things. And that's where you can work together with people on things, right? But there's other things that's just your passion. That's your heart. That's what God has placed in you. That's what you care about. And so it's important for you to identify that, because if you don't identify that, you're just going to get paychecks all day long and you're never going to feel fulfilled. You're just going to busy yourself and you're never going to be happy about it or excited about it. How many of you guys have ever had a task to do that you did not want to do? Right? You couldn't care less about it, right? It was just like, you told me to do this and I don't even care if it ever happens, much less today. Right? And you've had a task to take on like that, and it did not fulfill you to get it done. It did not energize you to see it happening. It didn't make you smile. You understand that. But then there's those tasks that matter to you. And those things that matter to you, they have to talk you out of doing those things, right? Because you love it. You know, there's that one guy in your neighborhood that has that lawn that is like perfect, right? I bet nobody's twisting that guy's arm. He just loves it, right? That's his heart. That's his passion. There's a guy in our neighborhood that we saw him every day. He's out there picking up those little gumballs with a little picker. He just walked around picking them up one at a time. He loves his yard, man, right? And you have passions. You have a heart for something. Your heart beats for something. There's something that when you hear strangers talking about it in a group setting, your ear like leaves the table you're at and you start eavesdropping like, what? Right? Your heart beats for certain things and you need to identify that because those are often gifts from God. It's a passion that he's given you to energize you into ministry and service, okay? So that's important. Heart is a big deal. What do I love to do? The next one, ability. You have natural talents and skills. Pastor, we haven't met, have we? I'm not good at anything. Yeah, that's what somebody told you and you believed it. God says that he's gifted you with certain skills and abilities. God says that he's given you what you need to accomplish the tasks he's putting in front of you. Some of you have talents and abilities that you have, well, there might not, some of them, there might not be a use on planet Earth for. But anyway, you haven't found what they're good for. You just know you love to do certain things, or man, this just comes easy to you. It's just natural. We've talked about grace before, right? Grace is when you can do something, when you make it look graceful, you make it look easy, right? And that's just, it's just something you can do. Some people can throw a football and other people, stop it. Don't try, okay? Some people can swing a golf club, and Chad cannot. Okay, we're friends. I can do that. All right, we're buddies. He can make a hole on offensive line a lot better than I can too. So that's, I admit that fully. All right. So some people make things look easy, and some people make things look very hard. That's a level of skill and ability. Some of those things you can actually learn. You can learn a skill. I was not born a drummer. Maybe I was, but I, you know, technically I was not. I learned a skill. It came naturally to me, and so I was able to do that. I've only been playing for like 35 years now. So anyway, okay. So play the drums, do what it is, figure out what are your natural talents and skills that you have, and find out what those abilities are. Everybody say abilities. All right, that's important, all right? Then next is personality. You are wired a certain way. I can tell, well, I could go to one of the tables here. I could pick a table. Let's pick the kids because they like to be picked on. And I could say the same phrase. Well, actually, this is a bunch of ladies, so that cuts the odds in half. But anyway, oh, sorry, Braxton. Sorry. My bad. But I could say one phrase to this table, and based on your personalities, you will receive that about 7 different ways. I can go to this table and I can say, hey, you know, here's something we need to work on. And a builder mentality, personality at this table will be like, yeah, let's do that. And then somebody else who's a pessimist is like, there's no way we can do that. That's not going to happen, right? Your personality will instantly gear you on how you receive all the input around you. Your personality is important to understand. If you don't understand that you're a pessimist, then you're just really confused at why the world is so stupid. Because they can't figure out all the stuff that's going to go wrong, right? And you just didn't realize that you're the pessimist in the room, and that's okay because we need some reality every once in a while, right? So we've got to understand your personality, your gifting, your that understanding of how God has wired you. When you hear certain things, there are people who have experiences that affect their personality. If you've had abuse in your background, when you hear the word father, all of a sudden you twinge a bit, right? When you have a broken relationship, when you hear that person's name, right? There's certain things about your personality that's going to be geared on your experiences. There's a whole bunch of stuff factored in there. But you are wired a certain way. I discovered I'm wired a certain way. I need to be needed. Part of that's because I'm a man. And we need to be needed. If I'm not needed here, then why am I here? I'll go do something else where I'm needed, right? And so we have to understand that about ourselves so that we can walk in that and figure out how God has shaped us to do ministry, okay? So personality is key. We'll talk through some of that as well as part of our work through here. And the last one is experiences. How will my experiences determine my direction in ministry? You'll have experiences, some that will help you, some that will hurt you. We learn a lot from the ones that hurt. We do. We learn a lot from the ones that hurt. Sometimes we learn so much that we don't ever want to try again. Right? But God says that he's using every bit of the experiences that you go through for a purpose. There's purpose in the pain. Jesus Christ experienced the most pain that any of us have ever experienced. And he did it for a purpose, for a reason. There's always purpose in our pain. If you've gone through painful experiences, God wants to take that painful experience and turn it around for the good of the kingdom. You're like, how can he do that? You can be a blessing to be relating and connecting to somebody who's going through the same thing. I can talk to a cancer patient all day long about how bad I feel for them. But if somebody who's gone through cancer talks to a cancer patient, all of a sudden there's reality, there's connection, there's hope, there's trust. So the experiences that you and I go through are what position us and what enable us to speak into the lives of other people going through those same types of experiences. Something like, if I've been in a hole, I might know how I got out of a hole, and I can tell somebody else how to get out of that hole. I love it when teenagers give each other advice about relationships. Don't you? I love it when 13 to 16-year-olds tell each other what they ought to do in a relationship, because surely they know, right? That's like two people in the hole going, well, here's how you get out. Why haven't you done it? I don't want to. I did once. I just got back in because I liked it, you know, whatever. Anyway, so experience is a key teacher. It's a key lesson for us. And this shape, this whole gamut of stuff, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, all of that creates a shape of you. All these factors come together in a unique setting that is you, and God wants to use you for the kingdom. He wants you to be happy in doing that. He wants you to be fulfilled in doing that, not just enduring it, right? Okay, so do what you love and love what you do. That'd be an awesome thing, right? Now, do I break here or do I keep going? I keep going. All right, cool. Definition of ministry. This is where I almost jumped to a minute ago. You're like, well, Pastor, I'm not in the ministry. Guess what? You're in. And here's why. Let's define ministry. What is ministry defined as? The Greek word that comes from diakoneo is to serve. Ministry is using whatever God... Everybody say whatever.
Whatever.
Say it again.
Whatever.
Now say it like a teenager. That was fun. Okay. Sorry, teenagers. I like to pick on you guys. Okay. You're so unified. That's why we can do that, because you feel life together. Okay, anyway. All right. Ministry is using whatever God has given me to serve Him and the needs of others. Whatever God has given you. How many of you guys are here Wednesday night to catch that video Wednesday night? Oh, my goodness. Louis Giglio tore it down right here. We had Louis Giglio here this Wednesday. He wasn't here. He was there. But it was like he was here. It was awesome. And he just challenged us with this concept of this same material. We're going to go through another lesson of it this Wednesday as well, so I invite you to be there. He's going to challenge us. But this definition of ministry needs to be redefined, because most of us think it happens right here where I'm standing. But ministry happens in a lot of different ways. In fact, it's done however God has gifted you to serve Him and others, in whatever way that may be. There's no separation between the secular and the sacred. You are a combination of both. Do you realize that? The totally natural human that you are, the physical combination of cells that you are, is supernaturally entangled with a spirit that long outlasts this physical situation. So therefore, by your design, your body, mind, and spirit, you cannot do anything natural. It's all supernatural. It's all sacred. So there's not your church life and your work life. You're not less of a person if you don't work in the church. God has gifted you with talents and abilities, and they are sacred because they're what He has given you, and you are living it out for Him. Isn't that cool? The church has broken that over the years, and I want to apologize on behalf of the assemblies and the church worldwide. That we have told the body that you are less than ministers, because if you're not called into full-time vocational ministry, then you're not being a minister. That is not true. The truth is, God has gifted you with talents and abilities and a shape that He is using for ministry exactly where He has placed you. Some of that is in church circles, and I would dare say most of the ministry of this church needs to happen outside of this building. Anyway. So, let's look at this text here. This is powerful. In Romans chapter 12, this is scripture that many of you have probably heard before, but in light of what we're doing, it's really key. You'll watch how these words jump off the page at you. You ready? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer our bodies, or your bodies, say bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather you think yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body, or each of us has one body with many members, everybody wiggle your fingers. That's the easiest way to, yeah, all these little things going on, right? Yeah, all these members of your body. And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. That's a beautiful picture of recognizing the lesson of the body of Christ, that we are all part of this body, and there are certain things that you can do that I cannot. There are certain things that I can do that you cannot, but yet we all belong to the body. We've talked about this recently, but the eye cannot say to the foot, you don't belong here. The hand can't tell the pancreas that it doesn't belong here, right? Is that where the pink over here, medical people? It's in there somewhere. Okay, anyway. But we can't blame other people for not doing what we do and not doing it the way we do it, because God's designed us differently. Each part of the body belongs here in this local body. So it's important for us as you're finding and discovering your ministry, let's check out some steps that we can do. And that's the five steps that are listed there. As you're discovering your ministry, here's five quick steps, and then we'll break to something different, all right? Because it's a workshop, and we don't do the same thing too long, or you get bored like toddlers. Okay, all right. People get bored? You don't get bored? Okay, you're bored already. All right. Discover my ministry, Romans 12:1. This is the text that we just pulled from, and the verses are there. You can write those down as well. Dedicate your body, my body. If I'm going to discover what my spiritual gifts are, if I'm going to discover my shape in Christ, I need to dedicate everything that I am to Him. Not just Sunday from 10:45 to noon. Right? Not just sort of every once in a while when I read my devotions. Not just when I'm feeling really good this weekend, I want to do something nice for somebody. Right? I dedicate my body, everything that I've got. The second step, eliminate competing distractions. You see that pulled from verse 2 there. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I eliminate competing distractions. If there's things that are pulling me away from my focus on serving God, then should I be doing them? You're like, well, Pastor, I got stuff to do. I got things to do. I know we all got stuff to do. And I could have a whole lot more stuff to do if I don't take time for God. But then I'm also going to be off track of who I'm supposed to be. I can enroll my kids in every sport, in every league, in every habit, in every entertainment. I can, in every club, they can be in the chess club, they can be in the Kiwanis, they can be in this and that. They could do everything there. We could sign up for every karate class in Independence and Lee's Summit, because there's probably more down there. Of course, you need it more in Independence. It's a little dangerous. Anyway, so we could take gun owner classes. We could take all kinds of, we could invest ourselves 1,000 different ways. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I ain't got time for this, Pastor. And then I ask you the question, well, what were you designed for? And you weren't designed, let me be clear, you weren't designed to sit in here. Right? Well, Pastor, that's what you're telling us to do. I'm telling you to come here and get trained and prepped so you can go out there and be what God wants you to be. Discover that. Understand that. Own that identity and then walk that out. So eliminate competing distractions. If there's stuff that is saying, you know, it's making life so hard that you can't do it all, then maybe you need to trim it down a bit. Who's in charge of that but you? I can have a real big house and it can run me, or I can have a little house and I can run it. What would you rather have? Would you like to have all your paychecks spent before you get them, or would you like to have some margin? Eliminate the competing distractions. All right? Figure out what you want to do and do it. Evaluate my strengths. That's the key. That's what we're doing here. We're evaluating my strengths. What am I good at? What can I do? My favorite movie scene, or my favorite movie, is The Three Amigos. And I love it when El Guapo is coming to town. Anybody seen the movie? And El Guapo is coming to town, and he says, all right, what can we do? What does this town does? What is it that this town does really well? And they're all like, And they come up with sewing, and you've seen the movie. They make uniforms, and they win. They use sewing to their abilities, right? Anyway, so, but we need to evaluate your strengths. Figure out what you're good at and put that to use. If you're not any good at it, if you can't do it, then God's probably not telling you to try it. If you have no rhythm, God is not calling you to the guitar ministry. Right? It's just easy. It just narrows it down real quickly. If you are tone deaf, don't join the music team in singing, right? Well, Pastor, I'm just going to make a joyful noise. Yeah, do that in front of the TV. But don't get a mic, right? Like, find what it is you're good at. Figure that out. Your strengths, what they are, because God is. And here's where we like to do the humble thing, right? Where we say, well, Pastor, I'm just not very good at much stuff. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's what Satan wants you to think so that you don't ever engage this honestly and make damage on the kingdom of Satan. Because when you figure out what you're good at, you can take it on. You can go and do what God's called you to do, and you'll make a difference by knowing your strengths, all right? Also, what do we have? Step 4, cooperate with other believers. You are not the Lone Ranger. You are not Superman. Neither am I. We need each other. None of this happens. No ministry happens on an island by yourself. It is always connected. In ministry, I've always been told, don't do ministry alone. Take somebody else along, and now all of a sudden, they can do it too. A three-strand cord, the Bible says, is not easily broken, right? When you're by yourself, you can get isolated, you can get defeated. But when you got somebody to watch your back, and when you're linking arms with two or three, imagine how much different if Red Rover or Tug of War. How about that one? Let's play Tug of War by yourself. That doesn't work very well unless you're huge, okay? And then it also runs out of time then as well, because when you get tired, you got nothing. So come together with others, connect with other believers, and figure out what God is doing in your life and in your world so that you can do that for the kingdom. The implications that Paul's talking about there, every member is a minister in Christ's body. Every member is a different function. Every member's ministry is important. Look at the person across the table from you somewhere and say, your ministry is important. Bill, don't talk to the empty chair. Find somebody else. Come on, man. All right. Every member belongs to the others. Now give somebody else a fist bump and say, I got you. All right? I got you, right? We need each other, all right? The body of Christ. And then lastly, step 5, activate my gifts. Activate your gifts. And you figure out what your strengths are and what God has invested in you, then do something about it. There's nothing like having a workshop like this, figuring out exactly how you're shaped and designed, and then not doing anything. Put it to action. Activate it. Avengers go or whatever, okay? No, that's not even a thing. Okay, anyway, activate it. Put it into action. Find an opportunity. If you discover something in this process and there is not a clear and obvious way for you to act that out, then talk to a spiritual leader. Talk to someone in authority and let's say, hey, let's figure out what we can create to activate your gifts. Because it's likely something we need. If God has given it to you, Becca, if God's given you gifts, and we don't have anything using that gift in this church, but you're a part of this church, that seems obvious to me that this church needs that. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 12, that they all belong to part of the body. And so if you have gifts and talents that God is bringing to this table, then that means we need them to be what God wants us to be in a city, all right? We got a couple things to cover up, to finish up here before we're done today. You're like, Pastor, we got two full pages. Watch this. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's get back into our shape. Everybody take a deep breath. The pins are about to start smoking. Not cigarettes. They're going to speed. Anyway, okay, you get it. Anyway. All right. Now about spiritual gifts, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, I do not want you to be ignorant. Thank you, Paul. Right? It'd be sad if we're all just like, oh, well, I don't know. We'll figure it out. No, Paul wants us to not be ignorant, so he teaches us, and the scripture speaks to it. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to be used to minister to others and therefore build up the body of Christ. Everybody say, every believer. We all have spiritual gifts, all right? Let's talk about some 10 truths about spiritual gifts. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts because they're given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does that. Other people have talents and abilities and interests before they find Christ, but when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit points and directs spiritual gifts through your life. You can see some scripture that reads along with that. Number two, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. You're like, well, not me, Pastor. I'm the exception to the rule. That's a lie. It's a lie from Satan that wants to keep you inactive and unfruitful for the kingdom. You have a spiritual gift, at least one, if not several, opportunities to serve in the body of Christ through the ways that God has gifted you through the Holy Spirit. Number three, no one receives all of the gifts. I messed you up. There's only one blank, but there's two words. Woo. Nobody gets all of the spiritual gifts. There's no spiritual Superman. There's no somebody who does everything that way. That was Jesus Christ. All right? But all of us, nobody has all of them, so you can't say that person does everything. No, if they do everything, they're stretching outside their gifts. They're doing something else, okay? So nobody has all of them, so quit the comparison game. Amen? And don't compare yourself to everybody else. Focus on what God has given you, all right? Number four. No single gift is given to everyone. No single gift is given to everybody in the body. That's why all parts of the body don't have fingernails. Thank God when you sit down, right? But there's not fingernails back. Anyway. They have different functions, the different parts. So no single gift is given to everyone. Number five. You cannot earn or work for a spiritual gift. You can't say, ooh, I'm going to get this one. I'm going to upgrade. I'm going to download a new level. It's not going to work like that, okay? You don't earn or work for spiritual gifts. You don't try harder for a gift. You don't do that with your birthday, right? Well, kids try it, right? I'm going to clean my room. It's going to be extra special, and then I'll get exactly what I asked for. If you're a manipulatable parent like that, shame on you. That's sad, okay? Yeah, because God's not manipulatable like that. He doesn't play that game. You can't tell God what he has to do for you. God gives the gifts. He wants to give you the gift anyway. We're forgetting that, right? He has given you the gift. It's a matter of you activating and using it and discovering, not in that order, discovering and then activating and using. All right. Number six, the Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. So you can't blame your pastor or your mom or your husband or your neighbor. The Holy Spirit is the one that gets, and this is not about blame, this is about recognizing that God is sovereign, he's in control of that. And the reason God gives you gifts is because it's what your heart is in, it's because it's what you're talented at, it's because what your experience is and your personality. He knows all this stuff, we are trying to be aware of it so that we can walk it out. Does that make sense? He's already aware, okay? Number seven, the gifts I am given are not taken back. You see the text there. God doesn't give you a gift and say, well, you're not using that, so I'm just going to take it back from you. I'll give it to somebody else. God has plenty of gifts. That's fine. He doesn't need them back from you. He wants you to use it. You ever been to somebody's house and you saw the gift that you gave them in the box somewhere on the side? You were like, or you got the gift back? But I gave you the, okay, I see what's going here. All right, so God does not work like that. He's not giving those or taking those gifts back from you, okay? Number eight, I am to develop the gifts God gives me. It's up to you. You can get a gift. God can give you a gift. I can give you a birthday present, Drew. But you have to do something with it, right? You have to develop that. You have to hone that. You have to put it to action, put it to use. If I give you a shirt, you should wear it, right? Yeah, exactly. Develop that gift, okay? Number nine, it is a sin to waste the gifts God gave me. You're like, wow, that's a sin. Well, if it's a gift God gave you and you're not using it, then you're not being obedient, right? So that's why it's really important that we discover what it is we're doing and discover what the gift we've been given or what we're good at so that we can actually put it to use so that we're not wasting it. We're making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil, like it says in Ephesians 5. All right, number 10. Using my gifts honors God and expands me. That word expands is kind of weird, isn't it? Expands me. But it honors God, and it expands what I'm able to accomplish because it's God's working through me. It's not just me doing what I do. It's God working through me. Those 10 truths are key. Now, why did I call them 10 truths? Because they're true. They're not opinion. They're not if you feel like it or agree with it. Okay? That's the difference between truth that our society has kind of forgotten. There is truth, and those things are true about spiritual gifts. So bank on them. Develop your opinions about spiritual gifts based on those truths. If you have a different idea about your spiritual gifts and it conflicts with those truths, then you're arguing with the scripture and with the giver of the gift. So you got to reshape your theology and make a match up to the Word of God and what He's accomplishing there, okay? Let me give you a couple cautions about spiritual gifts and then we'll wrap up today. First of all, don't confuse gifts with natural talents. You are naturally talented at some things, but it might not be the gift that God has given you. It's just a physical talent. Often there's a way to employ that talent or to make the most of that talent, but don't confuse a gifting with a talent all on its own, okay? So be careful with that. Secondly, don't confuse gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit shows my maturity and the gifts show my ministry. Okay? Now don't get confused there. But the gifts of the Spirit are actions that we take. The fruit of the Spirit should be seen by all of us and through all of us. Right? Because the Spirit is at work in our lives. Therefore, it produces fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law, the Bible says. Okay? So if you are trying to move in your spiritual gift of ministry, but it doesn't fit with the fruit of the Spirit, then you're doing it wrong. Well, God's gifted me to lead, so I'm going to lead. So shut up and do what I'm telling you to do. Love. Right? Love. Okay? So recognize that. So be careful about that and make sure your gifts and fruit, you understand the difference there. Don't confuse gifts with Christian roles. Oftentimes, we turn our gift, we try to put a Christian church title on it. Just because somebody cares about the next generation doesn't mean they're the youth pastor. Or that they even should be. Right? Just because you like children doesn't mean you need to be the children's pastor. Or it also doesn't mean that's all you can do. That's where we limit it. Well, if I sing, I guess if I like it, I just have to be a worship leader. I have to sing in the choir or something. We don't have a choir, so I guess God doesn't want me to do it anymore. Don't get stuck in roles, in Christian roles. Those things move and change. The gifts are what God's given you to find and use, okay, and discover that. Be aware, number four, be aware of the gift projection tendency. And that's basically assuming that everybody else should do it the way you do it. You guys have all eaten a food that you have a specific way you prepare it. And when you go to somebody else's house and they prepare it differently, you're like, what are they doing to that? Right? And then they eat yours and they're like, what did they do to that? Right? So don't just assume that your gift is exactly how everybody else has to do it. Right? This church does worship a certain way. There's churches about 2 miles that way or 1 mile this way that do worship very different. And it doesn't mean they're wrong. It doesn't mean we're right. It's okay. Right? Thank you, Leanne. It's all right. So don't confuse it. Expect everyone to do it exactly the way you want it done or the way you think it should be done. That's dangerous to assume that of people's spiritual gifts. Number five, don't feel certain that gifts make someone superior to others. It's not that you're superior. You're just using your gift. You're using your talent. We do that with our society, don't we? We elevate the athletes, and we think they're the most amazing people in all the world because they make millions of dollars and can catch footballs with one hand. And so that means they're better people than we are, right? No, we sure don't think that, but we act like it, right? Whenever they, if one of them walked in a room right now, half of you would wet yourself, right? There's Patrick Mahomes. He walked in. Everybody's, showtime! You know, we'd all lose our minds, right? But he's not any better than any of the rest of us. He's a soul that God created to use the spiritual gifts that he has for the kingdom. If he hasn't discovered that yet, okay? All right. Number six, realize using gifts without love is worthless. The scripture teaches that clearly in 1 Corinthians 13. If you try to use your gift and it's not operating from a motive of love and compassion for others, then you are using it wrong. And it's not going to be fruitful. It's not going to be productive. It's not the way God designed it to be, all right? Okay. This is this last one is so important to me. I love this. This is so practical. Recognize that I have both a primary and a secondary ministry in my church. My primary commitment should be in areas where I am gifted. I didn't make a slide for that one. I wanted to say it and I get confused. Like, well, where is it? Gifted, yeah. So your primary commitment should be in the area where you are gifted. You discover that and you put that into action and you are fulfilled and lovingly serving in that way, right? Your secondary includes serving in any other area where I am needed. You're like, well, Pastor, that doesn't sound like I'm going to be real happy if I just need to do it. Well, someone needs to clean these bathrooms, right? Amen. I got a big one there, Vivian. All right. Someone needs to do that, right? And you might not just love the porcelain thrones that we have, but it needs to be done, and those things need to happen. So that's a part of the body of Christ. There's things about your family and your home life that you might not love to do, but it needs to be done, right? So that's part of being a body, part of being a family together. So recognize that primary and that secondary. That's a big deal. Last couple thoughts here. Three ways that God wants you to use your gifts. Through an ongoing ministry. That's a regular, steady, serving opportunity to do that. Secondly, through short-term projects. And then thirdly, through spontaneous situations. Do you see the differences there? So God's giving you talents. He's giving you abilities. He's giving you passions for things. And some of those are going to be I serve in the kids ministry every so often, or I'm on the worship team, or I work at a soup kitchen on a monthly basis, or whatever the ministry, I serve with the cleaning team because I like things to go where they go. And so I help out in that area, right? So that's an ongoing ministry that you serve in. But then secondly, there's a short-term projects where it's like, hey, I'm going to put a little extra into this every once in a while, like a fall fest, like a missions trip, right? Those specific things that you put a little extra emphasis on for a short term. You can't keep that up all the time. You can't do that all day, every day, but you can do that for a season. And so you help in those ways. And then thirdly, through spontaneous situations where you're just out and about your day and all of a sudden a moment arises where you can just do something about it. We were on our way to men's conference in the spring. I stopped at a gas station, and I have a van full of like 15 dudes, right? And we're in the gas station. I hear the lady at the counter saying, I need to get to a tire shop. Where's the place I can get to? And, I got a flat tire right out here in the parking lot. And I was like, well, someone should do something about that. Right? Someone should help this poor lady with her flat tire in the parking lot in the rain, right? And so what we do, guys, we're like, hey, we picked up her car, literally, right? And all of us are like, you know, put it up on the, but we changed her tire right there because we could do something about it because spontaneously what we could do became a need that we met immediately. in our given day, wherever God finds you this week, wherever you go to work this week, wherever you go shopping this week, whatever it is you're going to do, pastor's walking through, he's going to get close and call my name. I know you're scared. But whatever you're doing this week, God wants to put that into action. The gifts and talents that you have, spontaneous, you're going to see an opportunity. You're going to see a moment where you can say, oh, I could do that, or I could help with that. And then you're going to step up and do something about it. And that's what God has gifted you to do. That's how you serve with your spiritual gifts. Amen? All right. Spiritual gifts assessment. Let me coach you through this real fast, and then I'll send you out of here. You're welcome to hang around here for a while if you'd like to. I planned on being done earlier. You know how that goes. Okay. It's time to discover your spiritual gifts. An online format can be taken at freeshapetest.com. Everybody say freeshapetest.com. That is the ideal way for us to work through this is for you to go online. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on a tablet. You can do it on a laptop. Go to your house. Whatever you like to do, that's fine. But take that online format of this spiritual gifts assessment and this test, okay? It's a shape assessment. And it goes through several parts that you don't even have yet today, okay? It's the full S-H-A-P-E, all right? The whole thing. But today, right now, what I'm really pushing for you to do is to do the spiritual gifts analysis, okay? And what that does is it just asks you a bunch of questions and you decide whether that's you rarely or that's you often. And there's 5 dots where you can gauge that. So like, or like, nah, I never do that. Or yeah, I always do that, okay? And it asks you questions that are just geared in there. And then so you answer those. And when you do it online, it formulates a score for you automatically. Okay, so you can do that online, take that test. You can it'll send you the results via email, and it'll also ask you if there's a spiritual leader. We'd ask you to put office at Central so that we can partner with you in your spiritual journey and discovering your gifts, okay? So that's as simple. You have this with you to take, so you know where to go to do that. If you do not have internet access, or you're like, the internet's trying to kill me, Pastor, I don't want to do it. Okay, we want to help you too. All right, so we've got copies of this test here. Pastor Chad and the guys are going to help me out with this. If you're like, Pastor, I will never go on the internet. It's the devil, and I'm not going to do this. Or if you would like help with that or whatever, we've got these right here for you, okay? And I want to put this in your hand. I didn't make them for everybody because, I didn't want to waste any paper. But if you need one of those, Pastor Chad's going to get them for you. If you just like to do it on paper, that's fine. Go for it. If you're a paper tester, that's great. But when you get done with that paper scoring, let me have everyone's attention real quick before we finish up. It's written on the page there. But when you get done with that paper scoring, we will have to enter that online because I don't have a scoring rubric for this test. Does everybody understand that? So if you'll get that back to us, we will be glad to help you as your church. We'll put that in online and we'll get you a score so you can have some results to work with, okay? But ideally, here's what I'd like to do. I need you, church, to engage this process, to take some time. That test will take you maybe an hour, and take some time this week and get into it. If you say, Pastor, I don't have internet access at home, but I'd like to do that, then call the church. We'll get you a time set up where you can come and you can take it right here in the building. We'll give you a laptop. We'll get it all set up and you can take it right here. Okay. I am dead level set. Hear me out. I'm dead level set on making sure that you have every opportunity to figure out how and why God has created you so you can live that out. I am fully committed to this process, okay? So your staff team will help out with that. If you'd like to take it on paper, Pastor Chad has those. If you want to do it online, then just go online to freeshapetest.com, and it's just right there. You just start answering questions and then fill out some stuff at the end. It is great to discover this about yourself and to walk this out. Now, I know this is crazy, but do you have any questions about that part of it? Freeshapetest.com, all right? Now, in an ideal world, you will go take that test today, this week, right? And then you will get that email, and if you like to print it off or have it on your phone or whatever it is, you'd bring that back because next week we're going to work through some of, like, what do you do with that, okay? So if you take the test and leave it at home and we're like, so, what you got? And you're like, I got nothing. I don't know. Okay, so it'll be helpful if you have something to talk about next week, right? And we're going to have some other material as well. But we'd like to take those results and then put them to action next week. Does that make sense to you? So what I'm also asking you to do is come back to church next week. Right? Like, really, it's so helpful if we can do this together, okay? So we'll walk this out together. We'll see you guys next week. Wednesday night is going to be awesome. Louis Giglio is going to be here on the screen. And he's going to challenge us in the same idea, the same concept. But God is with it. And let's pray and we'll dismiss. Lord, lead us into discovering, developing, and deploying our spiritual gifts so that you get all the glory. We'll be happy and fulfilled because of it, but most importantly, the world will know who you really are and what you really think about them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The game is...
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.